In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Of course, we're talking Yankees and Red Sox, but it's really more than that. It's baseball and beyond with John Senecal, episode 120. We're joined today by producer. Usually he's in the producer chair. Now he's in the host chair, Matt Sirois.
Yes, sir.
We do this whenever the Yankees are doing great or doing horribly, and today it is the latter. I guess the best place.
Like the whole season, it's
well,
been the latter.
I know, but this is the first time, in my opinion, I still hold true to, like, Judge comes back, Stanton gets hot, they win 10 in a row, and they're in the mix. Having said that,
ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Boone is our guest today.
but I mean, Matt, since you're, you know, the celebratory guy here, you know, you're the guest host. For me, it's like the first time that I see Yankees sort of losing a little bit of hope.
Oh, definitely. I mean, definitely. I mean, Aaron Boone said it this week. He finally came out and said it, that they stink. Quote, unquote, he said, we stink right now, and we're owning it, you know? And the thing for me, too, is obviously you know what you have with Aaron Judge, but you don't know what you got till it's gone. And imagine if he got injured, like, in April, this team would be 15 games under 500.
Huh. You think it's that bad?
You know what bothers me too, though, Matt, about the whole Aaron Boone thing is, you know, he comes down, he finally says we stink, but it's like there's never any accountability. Like he's not like the old Yankees. It would almost be like, you know, it happened in the dugout, but like not singling anyone out. I know it's like a whole team thing, but it's like there are like, there's like legit like everybody stinks, but then there's people that are just not doing it. Like there's the DJ LeMahieu's. There's I mean, the Donaldson who we know is just obviously he's gone now, thank God. But you know what I'm saying? There's no calling out of the individual.
No, there's definitely not. And I you know, Anthony Rizzo really took some ownership of his own stink. But like, I mean, yeah, from top to bottom, honestly, these guys look like they have no hope right now.
Well, here's the deal: from someone who doesn't give a crap, that would be me. Like, I don't necessarily cheer for their demise, but I would say the person I blame the most is Cashman because he's the one who constructs the team, and the team is incredibly flawed. And even with Judge, as I've said 2,500 times, even with Judge, they're not necessarily a contender for a World Series. Well, but when it comes to Boone, I think it's safe to say that he doesn't bring out the best in people. I mean, is it time to just say that? I mean, he hasn't won a World Series, so you can't like bank on that. And so me, you know, I know the joke is if George was alive, they'd all be fired already. But I mean, I don't want anyone to lose a job, but I think this is weird how, and I guess Hal Steinbrenner is super well-liked, that he's really, you know, a kind gentleman and all this stuff. But it's just weird that there's no hot seat-y kind of talk.
It's too old. It's just such an old guard. I mean, Cashman has been there forever. Randy Levine's been there forever. Like, it's just – the whole thing is old. Like, I don't blame Boone at all. I agree with you, Brian. I think it's all on Cashman, but then they go and re-up him. But, I mean, obviously you can get around that, but I think it's time to bring – I'm not going to say the young analytic, you know, stat rat goon in there. I'm just saying someone fresh, someone new, someone maybe with a player perspective. I'm not going to go out there and say Derek Jeter because I think he loves this Fox gig. I'm just saying something fresh, something new. I mean, but then again, it's not working so far with Sean Casey in the dugout either. So, but – I think it might be time for Cashman just to be, you know. I mean, obviously, I don't think they're going to fire him now, but after the season, I think it's time for him to roll.
I don't even know if they're going to fire him after the season, John, honestly, because they locked him in. And to me, Hal Steinbrenner, I hate the game, like, oh, if George was still alive, this. But Hal is nothing like his father, and he's got no spine. It seems like he has no spine, and he just goes with the flow, goes along with everything. And it's almost like Brian Cashman is the one running this team.
Yeah, no one. I mean, like you said, Boone came out and said we stink, but has anybody else said we stink other than the fans? And us, the people talking about it? No. Well, okay, where is that? Like you said, where is that fire? Where is anyone from the upper management saying, like, get it together? You know, we pay you guys $30 million a year. You know, we just gave you a 6-year contract, and you can't get out of the third inning without giving up 6 runs.
Well, listen, look at the schedule, and I hate, sometimes don't like doing this, but I really think it's important to point out that the weekend of July 21st into the beginning of next week, KC into the Mets, those 5 games are going to make a massive difference in all these decisions, right? Because after that, you have Baltimore, Tampa, and Houston. And they could get
just coming off getting beat by you-know-who.
So, I mean, I think that
Rockies and Angels.
Honestly, but, you know, I mean, it was, listen, the Sox lost 2 of 3 to the A's, and we'll talk about them in a second. But if you have 5 games against the Mets and the Royals, you have to win at least 3 for you just have to, because you're going to be hoping for 500 against Tampa, Houston, and Baltimore, right?
Yeah, I mean, you think you'd have to win all of them, obviously, if you could make any claw marks, because Tampa's been playing like crap. But the way you're playing right now, exactly, you're hoping for 500.
I told Brian this morning too, John, it seems like with the Yankees, once the opposing team scores 3 runs, I shut the TV off. I'm like, they're not going to score 4. I'm like, they're not going to score 4 tonight, because that's just the narrative they've been playing.
I've never changed so many Yankee games in my watching, I think, in like the last whatever, since I can remember, and flipped it over and watched the Braves or the Orioles play somebody or the Dodgers. Like, it's ridiculous. They're unwatchable.
Yeah, and
unwatchable.
It's true. It's not fun to watch as a fan either. But the thing is, too, looking at the August schedule, after the Astros series, other than home, they're playing home against the Red Sox around, like, the 18th, and then they have the Nationals that week, too, I think, for 3 games. They're on the road, like, pretty much the whole month of August.
Listen, the question is, I mean, every year we assume, and we might as well get into it here, and then we'll get to the Red Sox, that the Yankees are buyers regardless, right? Because they don't ever want to send that message to their fan base. And I still think if they go into say they have the exact same dynamic where they're less than, you know, 3 to 5 games over 500, at least 8 games out of first, and maybe even in last, they're still going to acquire some players. And you know, I don't know what they'll give up, but I can envision a scenario where they don't do that.
They're right now, it's 4 games out of the wild card, right? As we speak, with 4 games out of the wild card. And we're just like a little over a week until the trading deadline. Who do the Yankees have to give up that's major league roster ready? Think about that, right? That's playable right now. You have the typical, the Oswaldos, the Cabreras. Those guys aren't doing anything. The only one that's doing anything is Glaber, right? And so if the Yankees are desperate, every other team's going to know it's time to hit them hard, and they're going to go for the big prospects in the minors. And the Yankees are not going to trade Jason Dominguez because they're going to hold pat on him. So they're not going to be able to do anything. They're not going to be able to do anything. They're just it's like a hopeless lost cause. I mean, as a Yankee fan, I'm looking at it, and I hate to bang on them and bash on them, but the outlook is so bleak, because if you are 4 games out of a wild card and you're playing like this, like you've been playing, and you're only going with what ifs, what if Judge comes back? What if DJ starts hitting again? What if Stanton starts hitting again? What if Rodon starts hitting again? What if Nestor Cortez comes back? Too many what ifs. Hmm. Way too many what ifs with the Yankees right now.
He's John Senecal. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's what it is. It's too much.
I mean, real quick too, Brian, it's crazy to me to think that maybe the best hitter on the Yankees payroll right now is Aaron Hicks.
Yes.
It's so upsetting to think that. Like, and it's true. They're still paying him, and he's crushing it.
I'm going to tell you a funny story real quick. Yeah. So we're driving in the car, and you know I've always said, you know, I call them chicks. We make fun of them. I say that's the most chick thing he's ever done. Oh, anyway, we've always said that. So we're driving in the car the other day, and my son says to me, he goes, you know, what's going to happen is the Orioles are going to win the World Series and Hicks is going to get a ring and the Yankees are going to pay for it. He goes, that's going to be the most chicks thing he's ever done.
That's That's really funny. John Sedico, Brian Shackman here, episode 120 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Matt Sorois, of course, usually producer of the show. He's on with us today to talk. We're doing a little bit of, you know, Yankees. It just seems like the hope is waning. I'm not saying the hope is gaining on the Red Sox, but clearly it feels good, to be honest, to be ahead of the Yankees in the standings. And it's kind of amazing. You know, I want to have your opinion on this, and we haven't quite talked about it that explicitly, but I was talking with somebody about how having fewer games in the division, so going from 19 down to 13 or whatever, to look, basically it shows you how good the American League East is, because they leave the division and they just beat people. And the other, the AL Central, by the opposite, they're used to beating crappy teams so much that they go outside the division and they struggle, right? And so this whole concept of lowering those games, I think, has been a big advantage for teams like the Red Sox. Now, if you told me they'd be five above 500 going into August, I would have taken that. Now, I don't love the team, but I would have taken that. And I think at some point, if you're it's not just that they're three games out of the wild card, is that they don't have anybody on top of them to get there, right? They're not behind the Angels, Yankees, and Mariners and three games out. They're three games out with only the three teams that are in it in front of them. And I think as long as they could keep that dynamic, you have to be a little bit more optimistic that they'll make the playoffs. Do I think they're going to do anything in the playoffs? No, I don't. But I certainly feel a lot differently than I did, you know, a month ago about this.
Are they going to stand pat, though, or are they going to look and try to make some moves? I mean, it's just like, is it a discredit to the fan base if they don't do anything? I mean, I like you said, I think their outlook right now is way better than the Yankees' outlook. Now, I think, is like we said, with Yankee fans, we could almost accept the fact that it's almost a lost cause because they're just so bad and they're not looking good. Where the Red Sox, they might actually have a chance to get on a hot streak, get in a playoff run, and do something. I mean, do they do anything coming up on the trade deadline?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I am not a fan, a huge fan of Chaim Bloom, and I think that in the past I would have said do it. This is one year I would say don't compromise much, because I don't think they have the team, and they've overachieved to some degree, and they have so many holes. And, you know, I'm not ready to give up on Casas. I still think that they have a bunch of guys on one-year deals who they wanted to maximize, and then they're going to rejigger the team again. Like, I actually would be okay. And maybe it's because I'm getting old and soft as a fan, but I'd be okay if they didn't make a huge move. I really would be.
I could see them honestly moving on from Bobby Dalbec. But I don't. Do you trust Trevor Story's going to last the rest of the season? When he does come back probably next week or the next 2 weeks, he's probably coming back.
Well, it's funny, because you take a Trevor Story. I mean, that's the guy you probably couldn't necessarily trade for on the open market without giving something up. And then we'll talk about the Orioles in a second. But I feel the same way about the Orioles. If they get John Means back and he's decent, that's like they probably couldn't get a better pitcher on the open market unless you overpaid for, you know, someone like a Verlander or whatever. So, I mean, I actually think that Story could make a difference if he can come back and play decent baseball, and that makes it easier not to make a move.
Boy, I'll tell you, I'm looking at the Red Sox schedule going out, and they've got themselves after Labor Day, they got themselves a busload of work. Other than the Yankees and the White Sox, and you know, if the Yankees are playing better, they have got the Blue Jays, the Rangers, the Rays, and they finish against the O's with four.
Oh, yeah.
Boy,
it's gonna be tough.
It's gonna be rough. But the Yankees have a gauntlet in August, you know. But what, boy, it is gonna be a dogfight in the AL East.
Well, tell me this, guys. What are your thoughts on this? So we basically, you know, the Yankees. John thinks the Yankees might not even be able to trade for anything anyway. I personally think the Red Sox shouldn't, because I don't think they're good enough to justify it. Maybe Matt, what do you look at the overall market? I mean, do you look the would you actually be okay with the Yankees not being big buyers?
I think they got to do something. Either they got to, like you said before, they're not the type of team to fold up and quit in August, you know, and start selling everybody off. So they are going to get somebody. It's just, you know, these next five games could be huge, especially heading into the Astros series at the beginning of August, like right after the trade deadline. And, it, you know, obviously as a stupid Yankee fan, I'm still kind of hopeful that maybe they go out and get Shohei Ohtani, but they're going to have to give up literally their whole farm system for him, or, and possibly Anthony Volpe to boot. So I don't know if it's worth it. I'm a believer, too, with prospects. Yes, they're prospects for a reason, but you know what Shohei Ohtani is right now. And if you're looking to win right now, give up anything to get him and lock him in for 10 years. Obviously, you know, you're going to be paying out the you-know-what for him for the next 10 years. It's going to be $500 million easy.
Hey, we said give him – we were talking about the same thing, my son and I. We said give him a five-year – $350 million contract, and then he'll be a free agent when he's 35 years old.
That's actually, you think they take, I mean, that's a big.
I mean, think about that. If you can make $70 million a year and be only hooked to him for 5 years, if you traded for him and did a sign and trade and say, listen, we're going to give you a five-year, $350 million contract, and in 5 years, you can go do whatever you need to do. You mean to tell me someone's not going to give him that money to DH in 5 years? Just DH. I mean, the name alone is worth half that to a team.
Does he want to come to New York? Some guys want to. Some guys just don't.
Who knows? I mean, who knows what he's saying? We talked about that. He could be telling us anything. But to his translator.
Hey, yeah,
that would be something, though, man. Can you imagine you got him and Judge back? I mean, he's going to make any team better, and any team would want him. But I would love to see the O's do something crazy and get him, but then they're going to have to get rid of Jackson Holliday, any sort of trade like that. You know, that's the other thing with the O's. The trading deadline almost would hurt them if they try to add, because they got so much talent. Other teams are going to look at them and be like, oh, we want Jackson Holliday. We want him. But they could also trade like a Gunnar Henderson and say, hey, Jackson Holliday, come on. Let's go. Play. You're our 19-year-old.
I don't know. You wanted to chime in. We're talking with John Senecal and, of course, Matt Sorois here on Fan Base, a deep dive in the greatest rivalry in sports. Did you ever listen to the Nick Swisher interview, John?
Yeah, I did. I did. And, of course, a lot of energy. I always loved Swish as a player. I mean, he was great. I love Matt's story about seeing him at the stadium. That was pretty cool. He's a character. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Hopefully, you know, when he comes up and he holds true to that and comes in and talks to you guys, that'd be awesome.
He better. Yeah, August 11th, obviously, Home Run Derby X is going to be at Duncan Park in Hartford, Connecticut. And, I mean, you don't get a chance to see this event, like, anywhere. I mean, there's not a lot of them. So, I mean, I think it's going to draw fans from, like, all over the Northeast. And
yeah, I thought that was cool because you get male and female, too, hitting. In that, right?
Yeah, and it's not just
guys.
And you can get people, like, you can come off the street and be a part of it. So
yeah, they did. There have been tryouts for it, or they had tryouts. That should be cool. You get some random guy hitting tanks.
Are you gonna? You're not gonna go down there? Neither one of you gonna give it a shot? I can't hit it out of the infield, so it's not gonna happen.
After watching J-Rod and the Home Run Derby, I feel like if I tried even half of them swings, my back would be separated.
The team needs a guy like that, though. I actually, the one conversation that came up that Matt and I talked a lot about this, like, that's the kind of guy that the Yankees need. I mean, I thought that guy they got from, was it the Pirates? I mean, he doesn't have that kind of personality, though, right? I mean, you thought maybe he did. They just need some edge. They don't have edge.
Yeah, they don't have that edge. They just don't. And it's not, I mean, Volpe doesn't have that character. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if Jason Dominguez has that character, and he's struggling a little bit this year in the minors. But who knows? I mean, you're right though, Brian, they do not have that edge. They just don't, you know, if they're not hitting home runs, they don't have a home run celebration. So, you know, like all the other teams got something, right? What do they got? Like the best thing that's happened to the Yankees in the last 2 weeks is Donaldson went on the IL hopefully for the year.
You guys are so... You guys, I feel like the Yankees in general are a place where personality goes to die, but somehow Swisher was able to keep it. And I just think that that's kind of a singular achievement for him. And I guess he just was able to do it. And I mean, I've not seen Matt fanboy it out. I mean, unless some UFC or wrestlers come in, I don't think there's anyone he'd be more excited to see.
I love Nick Swisher as a player. I mean, when I saw him that day, and it was just unannounced, you know, we were all walking
in. Tell the story for people who haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean, we were just all walking into Yankee Stadium, and, you know, he was there and just, you know, a button-down shirt, just getting ready for the game. You know, it was like a 1:30 game, so it was around 11:30, the gates open. And, yeah, he was just there greeting people, taking photos of people. And, I was, you know, you look at somebody like that and you're like, is that Nick Swisher right now? Like, what the hell is he doing out here? Shouldn't he be in the clubhouse putting the jersey on and getting his cleats on and getting out to the field shagging fly balls or getting in the batting cage? Like, what's he doing? And, you know, I remember just going up to him and saying, man, I'm a big fan. And he was like, oh, he's like, thank you so much. Like, just the same energy. He is, like, exactly who he looks like and acts off the field is how he is on the field and vice versa. It was just such a cool moment to see, like, you know, because you don't get that interaction like I told him. Like, even in the minor leagues sometimes, guys will just say, ah, I'm headed up to the majors. I'm going to big time you and just walk away type of deal. And he was, like, out there like it was his choice. Like, yeah, I got an extra 15, 20 minutes. So let me see what the fans are doing today.
You know, it's funny because and I'll transition into the Orioles because we were talking to a frequent guest on my morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080 is David Lightman. I have him on every Friday, and he's in D.C., and he's a big Orioles fan. And we talked about the trade deadline briefly, and he said that he doesn't want to see the team sort of chemistry break up. And it's like even though they're pros, these guys are all really young. A lot of them came up together, and it's not the same as Swisher at the front, but there's a sort of a – not a minor leaguey feel, but a more of a not jaded pro, big money feel to the team. And, you know, I think I go back and forth on the Orioles about whether they should just go all in. And the more I think of what you just said about Ohtani, it's like do whatever you can to get the guy. I feel like you don't have many opportunities to be that close. And even though they're way ahead of schedule, I don't know what they would give up. You're not going to give up an Adley Rutschman or something, but like I think they definitely have
the talent to give up, Brian. That's for sure. But could you imagine the Orioles if they added him to the puzzle for the next? I mean, they legit would jump right to the top as chance for the World Series. I would say it'd be them and the Braves, and throw the Dodgers in the mix, I guess, for some reason.
Well, you mean if they added Ohtani?
Oh, my God, yeah.
No, but they don't even need to do that, in my opinion. Like, I wasn't even talking about our time. Yeah, I'm just saying that they should do something. They should go for it. They shouldn't not go for it just because they're ahead of schedule. I mean, because they're way ahead of their schedule. They weren't expecting to contend like this year.
Yeah, I still think, they need to add somebody. They need to add somebody to get over that hump. But, yeah, oh, my God, can you imagine?
Oof. All right, boys. It's good to have you in, Matt. You should come on more often. It's just our boy Joey Burgoyne come in earlier. I feel bad. I tell you, I feel bad for you, but I don't feel that bad for you. I don't really like the Yankees this year, and I'm not a Yankee hater. So.
I understand. I mean, it's good for Red Sox fans to step on the Yankees for a little while, but you know it's not still a long season. We still got the second half, but you know, anything can still happen. We'll see. I don't have high hopes. But
I'm going to start pissing you guys off. I think they're years away. I think we're looking at it worse than the 80s. I do. Mm. I mean, and I can't wait for you to prove me wrong because, like, I don't see it. I just don't see. I don't even with Judge. I don't see it. So
that Stanton contract kills him. It's Stanton contract kills him. It's just ugh.
Yeah, but you like it at the end of August when, you know, he's got 10 home runs in 12 games. And, you know, I still say it could happen, but I think it's the odds.
They still have the lineup's not dynamic enough. I mean, if he's not hitting, what are they going to do? If he's hitting, they'll just pitch around him. You know?
You guys are sad. You guys are sad to listen to.
You got nothing until you got Judge back. You got nothing until you got Judge back. And just because he's running the bases in Colorado doesn't mean he's coming back and hitting the 30 home runs down the rip.
I'm
hopeful he's back by my birthday on September 4th. But that's what I'm looking at. And if that's the case,
you're done, in my opinion.
I don't think it's happening.
I mean, it'd be great to see him play again. But you know, like you said, Matt, you know, the next 5 days, you know, if you're out of it, and what's the point of bringing him back rushing him back?
Yeah.
You know,
well, maybe that's they're telling us something by him not. Coming back so fast. Anyway, gotta go, boys. Be well. Episode 120 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in